On this episode, we're going to talk about how to master Jedi mind tricks and some real practical ways that you can have incredible influence.
Welcome to Thriving Launch with Luis Congdon and Kamala Chambers, the show for heart-centered entrepreneurs who want it all. How would you like to be able to interview world-class experts? Sit down and have chats with people like Jack Canfield, Marianne Williamson, Robert Kiyosaki, Tim Ferriss, you name it. Would you love to interview other people that you really admire and consider to be your heroes? Well, we've created a course for you that teaches you how to podcast, how to set it all up, and how to get going so that you can really have a successful show and you can do it properly. Over at thrivinglaunch.com, we have a podcasting course, and it's there for you, waiting for you to snatch it up. So head on over to thrivinglaunch.com, and let me teach you how to podcast the right way. Today's guest is Satyan Raja. He's impacted over 100,000 students from over 50 countries around the world through his global human potential company, Warrior Sage. He's a friend, a mentor, and somebody that I'm really excited to welcome to the show today. All right, Thrive and Launchers, we are here with my great friend, teacher, guide, mentor, somebody I absolutely love. Satyan Raja, are you ready to launch?
I'm ready to launch. Thanks Fantastic. For having me here.
So, hey, listen. One of the things that I'm excited to talk about is, and Thrive and Launchers, I've seen Satyan with the skill, so he's somebody that I have confidence can really educate in, and somebody that I've watched do this, is Jedi mind tricks. This is something that you teach, something that you talk about. Can you tell me a little bit about what that even means?
Certainly. Well, I'm sure many of us here have metaphysical inclinations, and we understand that our consciousness has a direct reflection on reality. This is old news for many of us who've been on this path. Now, knowing that is one thing, but learning how to actually work with that in a real, tangible way that produces results quickly has been sort of my passion. You know, how can we take our mind, our consciousness, our inner intent to create the realities we want? So I synthesize a series of methods and processes and methodologies that I've learned and synthesized through the years from all my mentors, and I call it accelerated evolution. And really what it is I love to take a look at where are the obstacle states in our consciousness. That's one of the things. What are the states that keep us in fear, keep us doing the things that are not inconvenient, just staying in our sort of small world over and over and over again? We know that fear, we know that limiting beliefs, we know that past areas where we haven't had success limit us. So for me, Jedi mind tricks are really learning how to influence ourself, learning to influence reality, and have reality be a reflection of our innermost being. It already is, but when we wake up to the fact that our reality is a reflection of our innermost being, then we can work to hone our own consciousness. And it's a mental training. It's a warrior type of discipline, just like we see in the Star Wars movies, you know?
Yeah, one of the most popular Jedi mind trick scenes is probably these are not the droids you're looking for, and you know that it gets someone who's confrontational to go, oh, you're right, this is not what I'm looking for, and he walks away. So, are you talking about on that level where you have that instantaneous influence?
Yes, that's part of it. And then there's also methods that I've put together which are designed to really dissolve the roots of why we're limited in the first place. But let's go back to this, you're not the droids we're looking for, or learning to move through borders with ease and things like that. The Jedi mind trick around that I train and teach is learning to subjugate your own ego for the sake of serving their ego. Now, if I take a look at a guard, I take a look at a police officer, I take a look at an accountant, I take a look at anyone in any type of service, there's the altruistic reason that they're there, and then there's just their personal reasons that they're there, right? like making a job, having a career. And then there's the higher values, you know, to serve and protect or to make sure that the country is safe and whatever. Now, what I've come to recognize is that when I go in to these circumstances where I have to cross a border or anything, and I'm feeling, oh my goodness, these people are out to get me, or they're questioning me, or they're above me, that creates a back force, a negative back force. But if I'm able to lower my personal importance and feel what is their altruistic reason they're there. So if it's a border guard, it's there to guard their country. They have a true, valiant, noble mission. They may not be feeling that in the moment. They may not be the highest exposition of living that death. But somewhere along the line, they made that promise, that vow. I like to meet them there and feel, thank you, kind sir. This is the demeanor. I'm not saying this outside, but thank you, kind sir, for protecting us, protecting our country. Thank you for taking care of innocent people and fishing out and filtering out people who are undesirables or not ethical or are harmful to us. When I have that vibration, that level of intention, that I see that in them, that that's what they're actually are there for, and I look at them with those eyes, I look at them with that empathy as I'm crossing a border, then they relax. They can feel intuitively at a soul level that I see them for their true intention. And that gets me through all the time because I'm honoring their position rather than being in conflict with that. So that's a practical way of actually doing the very thing we aren't the droids you're looking for, by subjugating your ego and feeling I am underneath this person and I am submitting to their deepest intention and their true, noble, valiant purpose. This is easier said than done, but if we cultivate it, it opens many, 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 many doors that would not be there open otherwise.
Luis, this reminds me of you in getting on calls with like the telephone company or the internet company. Like, if you want to see me at my worst, put me on an automated phone call or make me talk to a customer service person for over an hour. Like, I'll get to my worst. But Luis, he has this ability to show up and act as though that person is their friend or his friend. And he always just gets what, like, people give him extra service or they take off money and it's like a breeze. It's done in 15 minutes. And me, like, 3 hours later, I'm like having a meltdown.
You know, it's the same with people who are serving us at a restaurant or any type of service that I'm going to, a waiter, waitress, chef. I like to feel in them whether they're stressed, whether they're whatever day that they've had, even before I go into a restaurant. I go in with the tacit bodily assumption that these people are there joyfully to serve me. And just that pre-expectation, rather than just normalist, or that they're there to just take my money, or that they're there just to do whatever they can do to make it through the day and make some cash. When I go into that feeling of they're there actually to serve me, I'm transmitting a vibration of empathy. I'm transmitting a vibration of, I'm with you. I appreciate you. I value you. And that goes miles and miles and miles into the service industry. Very few people are appreciated for the service that they give, and they only hear about the complaints. One of the things I do, that whenever I have really good service, I actually tell the people, whether it's on the phone, if it's a phone company, my cellular company, or a restaurant, at the end of the service, I'll say, I'd like to speak to your manager. I say it in a funny voice, so they get a little scared. I say, I'd like to speak to your manager. And they're like, is there anything wrong with the service, sir? No, it's you are impeccable and you are wonderful with your service. And I want your team leaders to know this so that they can graduate you, that they can give you a bonus or raise and have you train the people underneath you on how to have great service. They get delighted when I say that.
I love that. Thriving Lunches. I also wanted to kind of expound on what Satyan and Kamala talked about, because Kamala on many occasions has mentioned how great I am with doing anything of these 800 numbers. I generally get on calls and people will give me extra services, knock my bill off, or we'll just end up having a really good conversation and everything will stay the same as far as bills go and on all of that. But my mindset is, I know that you work for a big company and that maybe things, some paperwork might have gotten confused and our bill is not exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I want you to know that I really appreciate that you're taking the time to look this over with me. And I am just so glad that you're the person that's going to help me because this has been a burden for me. And I know that you know what to do. And I'm just happy to get this resolved. And one of the things that I do with people is I see them as my friend. I see them as a support. I see them as being helpful. I also see their own plight. They're showing up to a job that maybe they don't want to do, and there's a machine that they're connected to that automatically answers. And so my job, and this is something that I do with pretty much anybody, it doesn't matter if I'm going to a restaurant, calling over a phone, or a grocery store, is I try to add to their day, make it more delightful. One, because I remember what it used to be like to work in the service industry. And Satya, and this is one of the reasons why I believe that everybody at some point in their life should have to work in the service industry, because I know from standing in their shoes what that's like. And so I have a deep appreciation for that person. You've cooked my meal. You're checking on my bill. Yes. And because of you, you are making my life better. So thank you so much. And then I make jokes with them, you know, like we had to call one of these automated kind of tax accountant numbers, and I was talking to the guy and I said, hey, listen, my wife handles all of this. I don't know what it's like in your house. And he laughed and he goes, oh, I know exactly. And I said, well, so I'm gonna put you on the call with my wife, because if you talk to me, I'm not really gonna know what to do. And he goes, oh, that's great. But immediately I saw him as my friend, as an alliance. And what I'm hearing from you, Satyen, is if you carry that, it helps you get more of what you want out of life. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly, my friend.
So do you have any other kind of insights, or do you think that this also makes your own life better, just in how you feel and the energy that you carry around personally?
Totally. Totally. It makes me feel that I'm part of this great universe, that I'm not a separate player, and that everyone is part of this interrelational flow. So it allows me to recognize that we are all in an interrelational flow. What can I do to support this interrelational flow rather than hamper it, crush it, stop it, throw it back on them? That's happening in the world with so many places. I can be the different person who aims for the relational flow rather than in relational get. Okay?
I would love to hear a real practical way that we can practice this, something that can help develop the Jedi mind skill even
sure.
more.
Well, I'm going to give you a second one that ties into this. This is invaluable. I've been practicing this particular next magical principle very powerfully. It's totally a Jedi mind practice. And what it is called the lowering of importance. The lowering of importance. So if I have a goal, you know, whatever my goal is today, whatever I want to reach out and serve someone, I want to make a difference with someone, I want to increase my income, I want to improve my relationships. I feel whatever specific goal there is for my own self. And many of us know about the idea of visualizing, the idea of letting go, the idea of really feeling into what we want to create and writing it down. All these things are valuable. I don't want to take away from all of that. I want to emphasize and reinforce that. But here's the magical, mystical piece that's missed. After the intention, after the creation of one's goal is designed, or feeling of what they wish to yearn or create in their reality, once that's really full and fleshed out, you know, what does it look like? What does it feel like? How do you experience it in your life? What would your life be like with that goal? I really love to flush that out. Then what I do, and here's a really unique Jedi mind trick, I actually look at that coming to a complete failure. Usually we're taught not to look at the negative side, but look at only what's possible. But once I've generated that possibility in my consciousness of what can be possible, in the great Tao, in Taoism, we want to make sure we integrate both sides, the negative and the positive. Positive we have. So then what I do is I see my goals not being attained. All these things that I just fleshed out, I see myself failing, them not happening the way I want it. Whatever worst case scenario, I take it to its nth degree at the end of my visualization. I see it falling flat on its face. Now, paradoxically, what that does, it removes the charge, the positive charge out of your impetus of creation, and then it brings you back down to, ah, if I failed at all of it and I got nothing, if zero happened from this, then what that does is at an emotional, psychological, spiritual dimension of being, you've lowered the importance and you recognize, I'm still here. I'm at point zero. I'm still a whole and complete being, even without any of this. Then, only when I've visualized, experienced the absolute worst case scenario, I come to a place of sacred neutrality, a divine neutrality around my goal. This is then when I start doing the application, the action steps, whatever the actions are towards attaining that goal, not just the visualizations. By doing that, by having the goal, having the desire, amplifying it fully, and then doing the paradoxical step of seeing every which way can fail, living that out fully in your psyche, reduces the negative tension. And what happens is you start flowing into those realities where those goals are already there. Less attainment, less willpower, less macho-ness, less striving is needed. You don't need to crush it. They start coming towards you because in your inner being, you have harmonized winning and losing together as one unity. And therefore, the universe responds with a neutral offering rather than pushing back or falling away. This is a unique practice. I recommend everyone try it.
That's so interesting. When you talked about that, I felt a sense of resistance, like, ooh, I don't want to sit and imagine the failure. And, you know, as you brought that up, I thought of some goals and I started kind of going, okay, let's, one of them for me, Thrive and Launches, is I write a lot. And one of the things I'm doing is I'm writing for publications. So as you talked about that, I thought, okay, I go through the process of pitching these people, writing for hours to have them see my literature and have them welcome me into their magazine, and instead it doesn't happen. So then I try another strategy and talk to a different editor, and the same thing happens. And as you were talking, I did not feel a sense of like I wanted to keep doing that. But as I verbalized it to you, I did feel this kind of like, I don't know, this energy started to open up in my spine. So that was very interesting to say it out loud, where I did feel some of that freedom.
It's totally counterintuitive to much of what we've been taught, but it's helped my life tremendously in attaining literally anything I want. And the people I get to coach and serve, it's working for them too. The reason I feel it works is because it lowers the neurotic clamoring to gain things. When we see it already as gone away after our visualization, then we're able to act steadily with less emotional morass and less emotional spikes. And we just become like a Zen master moving towards our goal without having to fluff ourselves up and pump ourselves up with positive motivation. We're coming from a Zen stillness by having the greatest visualization as well as its opposites. And then when we've had both, we get to walk the narrow line in between, which is harmonious equilibrium. Then the goals come to us and we move to them rather than life being full of strife and struggle.
There you have it, Thriving Launchers. We've been talking with Sati and Raja about how to master Jedi mind tricks. I encourage you to go out today and look for one way that you can practice your own Jedi mind tricks. Keep thriving, everyone. You've been listening to the Thriving Launch Podcast. For books and resources related to today's episode, make sure to head over to thrivinglaunch.com. We'll see you there.